Hello and welcome to the NAV Radio Podcast, Episode 3. We are here with my buddy Kyle Hemphill, and I hope everyone had a relaxing break. I know I did. It was very worthwhile, you know, got a lot of stuff done. So let's just get into it. We have Kyle here. He is the president of Delta Sigma Phi currently. He is on the rowing team, and he's in Gamma Iota. Is that correct?
Yeah, Gamma Iota Sigma, the academic fraternity, yeah.
Yeah, so he's pretty involved, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. So starting off, I wanted to talk about, you know, what's it like to run a fraternity? What is behind it, and, like, how has it helped you?
It's okay. it's a lot of, well, I guess being specifically, like, my role, I do a lot of, like, talking to the national fraternity itself. And then it's just also like making like financial decisions and decisions of the way like you think, you know, decisions that, like the fraternity should move as a whole, how we're going to spend our budget. the difficult part really is the fact that, you know, I think it's this weird, and I was thinking about this before because you told me you were going to ask me some questions about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this weird combination between a friend group and a business. And that's the hard part, because I think, you know, if it was just my friends, I would know how to handle everything, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've come, you know, I feel like that's pretty simple, and if we were a business, obviously you would handle things very differently, but I would know how to handle that as well. It'd be a lot more, cutthroat, so to say, if it were a business, but because it's this medium, some things are difficult to handle. Am I making sense?
It's harder to make executive decisions because you have more of a connection with these people. It's
mm-hmm.
like, you know, they say family and business should never mix because it just
exactly,
gets really
yeah.
ugly really quickly. And so that's why it's hard to be, you know, the disciplinarian, but also wanting to be the fun guy at the same time.
Exactly.
And, you know, there are definitely bosses like Michael Scott out there that are like that, but it's a
mm-hmm.
really hard thing to accomplish.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. You were also saying before that it's kind of like, you know, you're not sure when to be, like, the guy that, you know, is just in it for, you know,
mm-hmm.
the party and in
yeah.
it for the
because you can't always be the authoritarian.
Yeah.
You can't always be that. You can't always be the guy, like, I mean, your position itself is to know when to put your foot down and be like, all right, we got to focus up. We got to get this done.
Right.
But if you're that guy all the time, no one's going to like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost worse because then no one wants to listen to the guy that everybody hates.
Right.
So you gotta have that balance.
Would you say that it's been helpful with your social life? Like, has it improved it at all or hindered it?
I'd say it's... I guess it's improved it a little bit. You know, I've got... you know, I've met some people, especially in the very beginning. Like, sorority girls come up to me and be like, oh, hey, you're the new president, right? And
yeah.
That felt cool. but overall, I don't think it's had a major effect. I don't know. I mean, it's a cool title. It's a
mm.
cool title. And I think that... And that's more what it is. It's
yeah.
a title.
And it's also...
I suppose people appreciate titles.
Yeah, it's
I,
also...
I do.
Like,
I do.
Yeah, of course. And it's like you got to represent the brand at the same time I was talking about
yeah.
before. Like, you have to be a figurehead and you have to... You know, you kind of have to play both roles or, you know, you're not representing the fraternity as well
yeah.
as you can if you're not... being the guy who can, you know, be very welcoming and just
yeah.
in it in the moment, but also at the same time making sure that, you know, everyone's safe and because it's on your hands at the end of the day. So
yeah.
that balance is tough. But
I suppose with representing the role, I do a lot more of that to the university itself and, like, maybe the national fraternity.
Right.
But I'm probably far from the most popular guy in Delta Sig. plenty of my friends
yeah.
are way more popular with all the other Greek organizations and sororities
right.
and other people on campus.
Of course. Is there any advice you would give to some people who are not in a social fraternity yet that would want to join one?
That's a good question. I suppose. yeah, actually, I do have one thing, and I say it a lot during my week. go out and meet all of them. Like, don't assume which one you like before you know everything. Because I think I always tell kids that, like, when we're there, like, I don't... if everybody should join Delta Sig, there wouldn't be five other frats on campus.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, there's... I do think that Greek life would be good for everybody. I think that everyone should join something. But it's important to go out and really meet the guys that you feel the most comfortable with, the guys that you really like, the guys that you want to be around, because it can be a tough decision, and, you know, you don't want to make the wrong one, just because, you know, it's not one that you want to make too hastily.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that I've learned just from my experience as a junior is basically don't be afraid to talk to people at parties, because that's what parties are there for, you know? Approaching, no one's gonna be like, oh, why is this guy approaching me? It's not like the line at Starbucks, you know what I mean? People are out there because they want to mingle 90% of the time. So unless, you know, they're very closed off, definitely just don't feel shy about approaching people, because they are asking me to approach, they just, you know, they're not gonna outright say it.
Yeah.
And you just kinda have to, like you said, go out and basically find your people, and don't be afraid to expand the circle, even if it's not within who you would, the culture on campus tells you you have to associate with. You know what I mean? You can be interconnected with different people in different places, you know, just because you like a certain Greek organization, or just because you're in a certain club, doesn't mean you just have to hang out with mock trial people or hang out with improv people. You can, you know, make sure that you include everyone, and then you'll be a lot more liked. Sheldon is the best example of that, I would say.
Sheldon is so involved on campus, I can't keep track of it. It's crazy.
So, how would you say, you've told me before that you've just always been a social guy. Do you have any tips for people who are more introverted and don't feel like they are very good at talking to people, are kind of anxious when they want to?
So real quick, actually, I want to correct you.
Okay.
And, on something, because I haven't always been a social guy. I said I've always been comfortable with myself. I definitely, for a long time, I was really shy. but I just suppose... I grew a little bit more, and I got more comfortable with myself than I suppose I always was, and that led me to be a little bit more talkative. And part of it is just me being so involved in everything that I do, and I just like to talk, and generally a lot of other people like to talk too. So I know sometimes I talk too much, and I definitely annoy people.
Yeah.
But I mean. But then it doesn't annoy everybody. You know, I've always said I'd rather be annoying than quiet, because at least if you're, you know, too talkative and annoying, you're going to find somebody else that likes you. If you're quiet, I mean, how's anybody ever going to get to meet you?
Yeah, so of course there's a line to that, but, you know, when it comes to, like, this kind of relates to stand-up comedy, because I'm a huge stand-up comedy fan. Like, you're supposed, when you're in stand-up comedy, Dave Chappelle... he still bombs, you know? There are still huge comedians that when after they're done airing their special, they purposely bomb. Like, I know, like, when The Laughter Died, you know, Andrew Dice Clay, he literally just bombs in his special. And it's because, you know, you have to be able to try out new jokes and see if they work. And that's the same thing with talking to people in life. You have, if you're... you know, stuff is going to flop, but you're never not going to know if it flops or not if you never try. And it's better to try and be seen as a weirdo for a little bit and then come back stronger than not try at all and seem like the person who's just, you know, an outcast or aloof, you know? And just being able to experiment makes you, I would say, probably ahead of 70 to 80% of people who just feel like they have to say what society wants them to say.
Yeah.
And I think that's really interesting. You know, I've never been good at small talk. I'm a deep kind of person. I like deep conversation, so it's kind of hard for me to talk at parties, and I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
Like I've said,
I find it hard to talk at parties too, really, because you know, the music's always loud. It's dark, and half the time that you're anyone that you want to talk to new, you like don't know them.
Yeah.
So it can. I mean, I feel that like struggle too. You just kind of have to find like you have to find that mutual ground where you can like strike up a conversation to talk to new people. But
right.
Sometimes it can totally be difficult.
And this one specifically for all my non-LaSalle listeners, this was more of a LaSalle centric point, but LaSalle, their parties are in row houses, and that can also be difficult because everyone's crammed in. Like, I was just with my friend Casey, and she throws this big party every year, and it's like her entire like lawn, and everyone's just hanging out there. And so it's, you know, you can either hang out in the house or at their fire pit, you know, or their backyard. You can just kind of walk around and mingle with people, and it's a lot easier because it's not all crammed in and everyone has space to gesticulate and just talk. And while, you know, there's a live band playing, which was really awesome. So shout out Casey for that party. That was pretty awesome. But, even though it was loud still, you could still hear people because there's not as many people talking in your ear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So LaSalle parties are also weird in that sense. You know, even temple parties, they have, like, front lawns and backyards and stuff, and people hang out there.
Yeah, temple parties have much more space than we do.
Yeah, which is weird because they're more in the city, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of odd, but LaSalle's unique in that way. And so our parties might not be the best place to mingle, but that's why you got to get... especially here, you have to get into other clubs and stuff, because we were talking about it before off podcast, but LaSalle is, it's cliquish, but it's like a high school, you know what I mean? Kind of in a sense, because the population is kind of like a very big high school like I went to, and it's you can get to know everyone a lot, like at least 70% of people on campus by your senior year if you're really going out there, you know what I mean? And it's a lot easier to do that than try to meet people at parties.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met more people from Delta Sigma Phi at other functions than I have at their parties.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I like to hear that.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, and it took me 4 semesters to realize that, but it's kind of coming on that realization for me now, so that's cool. Tell me a little bit more about Gamma Iota Phi.
Sigma.
Sigma.
No, it's fine. It's a little deal. It's kind of like you're in Delta Sigma Pi, which is obviously the academic business fraternity. This is kind of just
You said risk management, right?
Yeah, this is almost like a smaller, like a more subsection like that more specific one, which is about risk management, which is like a specific focus in finance.
Right.
Which is my major.
Forgot to mention that.
That's all right. And yeah, I joined that last year because I was looking for an internship more in my major, and I ended up joining it. And I wasn't really sure how everything was gonna go through that, but they said they could help me find something, and lo and behold, they did.
Yeah.
Someone reached out to the program and said he was a managing director at his company, and he said that, you know, they weren't offering any internships right now, but he would love to. I guess he was part of the program when he went to school.
Mm-hmm.
I forget where he went to school again, but anyway. Because it's a really big program over at Temple.
Yeah.
But, so he said, I would like to just, like, help your students, like, find internships just to help the program out.
Right.
And, you know, I needed one, so him and I talked a little bit. And then it was weird when we were talking because he... You know, I was there, I was thinking, okay, this guy's, we're talking to help me find internships with other companies.
Yeah.
But he kept just talking about his a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then we met twice, and just sat down and talked a couple times, and then he was just, and he looked at my resume, and he said, okay, so when do you want to start? And I ended up working there, and it was, as we spoke about before, I've had 2 internships over my college career, which I think I'm very lucky to have gotten.
Right.
That one was my second one, and it was not one that I was expecting. I didn't even know I was gonna get it.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of got lucky with it, and it ended up being like a really great experience for me because it's risk management has a lot to do with insurance, and while insurance may not be the most exciting job market,
it's still an investment.
Yeah. But just the environment that I worked in was just so positive, and it was just like a better, just a great place to work. And I think it's the reason I'm looking forward to possibly going back there after school. Because I think that's really important when you find like that first maybe not even that first job, but like a job that you could see yourself in that long haul, is just figuring out like what's gonna make you happy every day. Because no matter how much money you're making, if you're dreading going to work in the morning, like you just can't keep that up. Eventually you're gonna lose it. You have to quit. I don't know who can do that their entire lives.
Some people do, and they do it for a paycheck, but paycheck isn't everything, and you kind of got to realize your own happiness should be valued more than the money at the end of the day. And of course money can help your happiness in a sense, but at the same time, if the money isn't balancing out the atmosphere you surround yourself with, it's not worth it. You can find something else that could pay similar to that, you know, or sometimes more, sometimes less, but at the same time, in the long run, you'll be healthier, you'll live longer, because stress is a real thing, and stress really can age you. I mean, look at Obama from when he started in office.
Oh my gosh, every person.
And, yeah.
Just every time they get, you gotta think, it is an 8-year difference,
right,
if they, you know, get reelected, but just the sheer toll of that level of stress has got to take on you, I can't even imagine.
Folks, by the end of the semester, Kyle's going to have gray hair.
Yeah, that'll be it.
I mean, look what happened to LaMonta. But,
hey, man, my dad went gray at like 35, so
really?
It's going to happen, yeah. But at
oh,
least,
wow.
I just don't want to be bald.
That's why I'm growing my hair out now. You know, I want to play with it while I'm young
and have
a chance to experiment.
Yeah, I always think about doing that, not to get too off topic, but I always think about growing it like super long, and like any point it starts to get like too long, and it starts getting in like my eyebrows and stuff,
mm-hmm.
or anything past my eyebrows, or like I feel it like on my ears and anything,
right.
I'd like freak out. I'm like, no, like I cut it. I don't.
Yeah, I feel that. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Well, your look works for you. But yeah, so I definitely agree about the environment is everything. And you said that, how would you say that you went about finding these internships? What kind of advice would you give for finding internships?
Well, what I did, so I know a lot of people will go the, how I described it before, is like a more traditional route, which is using those like job websites like Indeed or Handshake, which is, you know, what LaSalle really endorses using.
Mm-hmm.
But I think making a face-to-face impression is really everything with people. So I think things like career fairs, I've seen a lot of people like get like good stuff out of, but also just like talking to your teachers, because you know that's what they're college professors, that's what they're there to do. They want you to get a job. So what I would recommend doing is finding a teacher that you like within your major. It could be your advisor. It doesn't even really have to be, because any teacher within your major can advise you.
Yeah.
And talk to them. Tell them what you're looking for, and you know, see if they can help you. And a lot of times they can help you, because they have those connections.
Right. That's what they're there for. And, you know, honor students, I feel like, have it kind of lucky, because they have Penny to help them out. And as long as, you know, they're keeping on track of academically and putting in the effort, and she sees that, 90% of the time she's going to help them out. I'm sure you know a lot of honor students who she's helped out. She's, you know, a beast with that kind of thing. And I always was kind of envious of that, because I'm like, oh, I'm not making the grades, so I can't get good opportunities. But, you know, you can't think like that. You kind of just have to think in a sense of, you know, use more like LinkedIn, or ask around for emails and stuff like that. And, yeah, ask your professors, because they have some knowledge too. I'm thinking about talking to my DAR professor, because he just showed us the other day this really cool thing he did for the New York Stock Exchange. He had like a kind of like a design he did for a bank. I think it was Lehman Brothers or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's like right there in New York City. It looks really cool. You know, like, and so like I want opportunities like that. And of course I'm not going to get them right away, because I'm still new at this, but you know, he definitely has, you know, obviously some connections, and I think
that's cool.
You know, just talking to professors that you like, and that's is important. And that's the cool thing about LaSalle too. I've met very few professors at this college that I didn't like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like some I only tolerate, but there's a lot that I think have a lot of value to give, and I just take that for granted. You know what I mean? I'm like, this old hag, you know what I mean? What is this fogey gonna do for me? But they can do a lot, because they're more experienced. So I'm gonna take that advice, and I think everyone else listening should too, because yeah, they do have a lot to give, and they are very generous people. They don't do this A lot of, especially LaSalle professors, you know, they are experienced enough that they don't need to be teaching here. They could be doing other things to be getting more money or doing anything else, but they do this because they love the subject and they love teaching about it and that's allowing people, other people to be the next one of the generation to do what they like to do. For example, do you know McNichols?
Oh, yeah. I think she's a great professor.
Yeah, and she's always trying to get people to do insurance because she did insurance for a huge part of her career. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's a good example.
Oh, yeah. She talks up Gamma Iota Sigma 2. Yeah. They all do.
Interesting.
I don't want to put you in any sort of spot you don't like, but I wanted to bring up a professor that I suppose you described as tolerated. I couldn't stand. But you know, just so we're not like completely bashing, I actually after I finished the class, I went back and I thought like actually he what I learned from that class actually ended up being pretty valuable, and that was Paul Otto. I know you took him too. I wasn't crazy about him at the time either. He definitely annoyed me. But I don't know, after I got out of that class, I ended up using a lot of the stuff that I learned, and turned out that it was actually pretty helpful for me, at least for me. So that surprised me, because I thought, oh, this guy's the worst teacher, I'm not learning anything. And then I took that last spring with him, and you know, I didn't like the class, I didn't like him. Mm-hmm. And then over the summer I was like doing stuff in Excel that I realized he taught me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess he wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I think the Autobahn means well, you know what I mean? You definitely, he's not teaching, I would just say he knows what he's talking about. I would just say maybe he just needs a refresher on how to teach more effectively. And that's not saying he's not doing an RA job, but just, I don't know, not everyone is supposed to be a great teacher. Not everyone has to. Some people are just experts, but they don't know how to express that they're experts.
Yeah.
I mean,
did
you know what Stephen Hawking was saying at the time? You're just like, all right, I'll believe you.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, that's definitely something too. Just always trust your professors, know what they're talking about, I guess is our point here. Now, tell me a little bit about the internship that you had in Michigan, because that was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because you kind of mixed being a mechanic with being in marketing, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah. I didn't do so much of any sort of, like, hands-on engineering work. I kind of just worked around those guys, and I got to... since I worked in marketing, I worked specifically with explaining to people, like, how we did everything. Just helping out the people who really did that. But I did get to see it all. And that was cool. It was marketing, so it was kind of this and that, you know, whatever they needed me to do. But I moved out there all the way for it. I had this... So my previous one, that was an insurance, that was the summer between my junior and senior year, mm-hmm. whereas this one was the year before between my sophomore and junior. And I got it through just connections that I happen to have, just through knowing people over the years, and the businesses that my family and friends have all been involved with. And they offered me to come out there, but it was I had to obviously move out to Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
So I did it because I wanted the experience, and I thought it would be a really cool one and a really valuable one for me. And I thought, you know, maybe this will be it. I'll find my job here. I'll love it. And I went out there, and there wasn't really many other interns. And I was living alone. I ended up like really bored all the time and kind of sad a lot, because there was no one. I was so bored. And even the it was a cool internship and it was a cool job, and those people are all still great people, but something, I just didn't quite feel like I fit in the environment,
mm-hmm.
which is sometimes can be a hard thing to figure out, because like it wasn't that everyone was mean, it wasn't that it was any sort of like toxic environment, you know, everybody was very nice and very supportive. But I just didn't quite feel like I didn't feel in place there. And it could have also had to do with the responsibilities that they gave me. I felt a lot more valued at the insurance industry. It was called Altus, was the company. I felt a lot more valued as over there.
You had
rather
more to offer.
What?
You had more to offer.
Yeah, I felt like they actually took me and utilized me, whereas over at Roush in Michigan, I felt like they kind of were just like, okay, you can be here, you can be around us, you're welcome. It was felt like it was more for, they were doing it for me rather than all this, like, wanted to see, they were interested in how I could help them,
mm-hmm.
which I appreciated, because that's what you want to do. As in a job, you want to feel valued in any job.
Yeah. So, just to kind of clarify your role, were you kind of like the translator kind of between the customers and the mechanics, or something else?
No, it was.
I thought that's what you were saying. Maybe.
Well, no, that was more like what the people, the real marketing people were doing, and I was kind of just along for the ride to help them,
mm-hmm.
and assist in any way. I did a lot of like talking to customers, but obviously I wasn't the one making sales.
Yeah.
But I did get to talk to a lot of people. They just kind of, they were like, as long as I stayed friendly and made polite conversation, and
mm-hmm.
They liked me.
But that's,
they're happy.
That's key, you know. Some people say that, like, I hate working for the man, but it's only if the man doesn't respect you that you shouldn't want to work for him. If they respect your qualities and what you can value to the company, and they try to bring that out rather than just, oh, do this, do that,
you don't want to feel irreplaceable.
Yeah, exactly. You want to feel like I'm making a difference in the company, I'm contributing to their success rather than, oh, I'm just doing busy work for them.
Yeah.
So that's also key when you guys go out into the workplace. If you, aren't like me, who's not really a big work for the man kind of guy, but I'll do it for a couple years. I need the experience, so
yeah.
I think I'm going to start out there and then branch out into my own kind of world after a while. But that's a different topic for a different time. I did want to also get in, before we go, just a little bit more on just how you would say, you seem like you're pretty good at reading people and you're a nice guy, so what would you say to kind of dealing with negative people in your life?
My parents have always been very kill 'em with kindness type role people,
yeah.
And I guess I still kind of hold that, because I haven't seen my parents be wrong about too many things from what they taught me growing up. So, I don't know. I mean, if someone's always going to be like a jerk or negative, I wouldn't. I mean, unless in some other way they're valuable to you, I'd probably just try to, like, you don't need to cut them off, because that sucks for them. But maybe lower the limit that they're going to be in your life. And when you see them, be nice to them. Make conversation. Make them feel. Make them feel bad about being so, like, a negative jerk.
But in
just
a
because
good way.
Because you're so nice and the complete opposite to them.
You're not going to
let
them
affect
they're
gonna feel,
you.
Yeah, then they're going to be like, I can't believe I just, like, I've been so, I'm being so rude. It's hard to be rude to someone who's constantly nice to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard to be rude to somebody who is nothing but nice and treats
you
with respect.
Why do you think people get so frustrated with customer service representatives on the phone?
Yeah.
I'm sorry you feel that way, but I cannot help you at this time, but is there anything else I can help you with? Yes, this exact issue. Well,
we
can't
help me with anything.
Yeah. I think that's key, and it's also like they're projecting their own insecurities, and a lot of the time, not always, sometimes you can do something shitty to cause them to do that. But even if you do that, you can admit you're wrong, and sometimes people just don't accept that. They'll just always have this image of you in their mind, and people who can't, get over that are just people you don't want to associate with. People who can't, who are very stubborn and hold grudges, they're not the kind of people that really are going to be valuable to your life, because they're just, it's just, even if they do, down the road, welcome you back in, it's just going to happen once again. So you really have to kind of understand that negative people aren't worth your time. So if they are invading your time, fill it with positivity. You know what I mean? You have to kind of drown it out so that, like, the salt in the water is so little that you can't even taste it.
I mean, you're always gonna be around people who, there's always gonna be people in your life that you may not always want to be around. But the only thing you can do is try to handle it the best ways and see if you can make a difference in theirs.
Yeah, that's another thing too. I didn't really think about that before, but yeah, you can actually change their perspective just by being a positive person. You can say, wow, well, they're not affected by this. Why am I not like this? Maybe I should start to be more like them. And you can actually, you can turn them from a Paul to a Saul, if anyone knows about the Bible at all. Or I think it's the other way around. But you can definitely, it's not going to be overnight. I'm not saying at all it's going to be overnight, but after a couple interactions, if they keep doing this way, and you show that you're not going to let them be the reason that you feel shitty like they do, then maybe they'll stop feeling shitty. And I don't know, that's just
like
my
opinion.
Said,
it's hard to be rude to someone who's always nice to you.
Yeah.
But just in, like, another, like, reference for that, I remember one of my finance classes, we had this guy come and speak to us from, he was the risk manager of Orange County, California Transportation Authority. So, like, all of the, like, it's, you know, it's like SEPTA in LA.
Mm-hmm.
He was their risk manager. Yeah, oh, it was definitely a tough job.
Yeah.
But someone asked them, because, you know, that's a pretty good position. You know, that he's definitely getting paid well, and he seems to really enjoy his job. But someone asked him in our class, you know, what do you think is the most important thing to be able to move up along the ladder and get to a position where you find yourself both being valued and happy? And he said, just be easy to work with. I hate people who are going to be difficult to work with. Just be someone who is going to be a problem solver and not a problem creator.
Yeah. Like, even if you mess up, sometimes bosses can make it a big drama, but you don't need to make it any more of a drama. And if they're not making as big of a deal, you don't have to be as dramatic about it, because then it's just like, well, you know, you're taking up too much of their time, and they don't need that. They have other stuff to worry about. They don't want to put any more energy into the situation. They just want to know, yeah, look, boss, I messed up. You know, it's not going to happen again. And they'll move on, and they'll be like, okay, I trust you. Or just prove through your actions that you can be reliable again, you know?
Yeah.
But it's interesting also you said about how moving up the ladder, in my opinion, and I'm sure you agree, it's about connections to get where you need to go, especially with, like you said, emailing people and making connections with your professor. You want to, it's not that you shouldn't try to be nice and talk to everyone, always be nice to everyone and try to get to know people better, but focus a lot of your energy on the powerful people in your lives more. You know, it might kind of be annoying because other people are doing the same thing, but just don't treat them like as, it's a tough thing to do, but don't treat them as someone that you can gain from. Treat them like a human.
Yeah,
treat them like they're someone who doesn't have connection, you know what I mean? And just treat them like you're their friend, instead of trying to act all nicey nice to get something from them.
Yeah.
And you can get those connections a lot easier now. I'll use the example of when I got into DSP. I kind of messed up a lot at DSP, but one thing I did right in the pledging process was I talked to the president, Jordan Patterson, and I wouldn't say I was kissing ass per se, but I would make a conscious effort to greet him first when I came to events. I would make a conscious effort to ask him just how he was doing, what he was up to that day, you know. And I think it made a difference in his mind, because I messed up late in the semester really bad. I lost all of my interviews that I had with the brothers twice. And I mean, I had them done, but I couldn't prove it. But because he saw me around campus trying, and because I always was talking to him and trying to get to know him better. Yeah, exactly. He saw that, and he vouched for me when not a lot of other people. I'm sure I wasn't there when they talked about it. I'm sure they talked about it a little bit. But, you know, I think that might have been something that pushed me over the edge. So just, yeah, it's a difficult thing to do. Don't kiss ass, because that is see-through.
Yeah.
But just, it's the same thing with trying to get girls. You know, you have to just try to get to know them and treat them like any other person, and not someone who holds something over you, and you know it's a lot easier for you to get your way.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing to end on. What do you think?
Yeah, I have one more point to add on to that. I think it's interesting that you add the you bring up that it can be difficult because everybody will be doing that type of thing, but you'd be surprised at how many people really aren't. You know, people. It's much easier to like stick within your own like circle rather than go out and talk to the people who are actually going to get you advanced. And you're right. When people do, they have a real problem with when they talk to them. They talk to them like, all right, how can you help me? And no CEO is going to talk to a college student looking at him saying, how can you help me? They're going to be like, I don't care about you.
Yeah, you got to figure it out on your own. Okay?
Yeah.
just like I did.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like it's just like what you were saying. You want to go out and you talk to them the same way you want to talk to anybody else. Like they're the same person. You know, treat them with obviously respect, the same respect that you would hold for anybody else. But if they see that you're just interested in like what they're doing and like they just like you just want to hear what they have to say to like learn from them, they're gonna hold you to a higher standard than the kid who walks up to them and says, "What can you do for me?"
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, don't. If you're given even a little bit, even if you're just given a taste of that, you know, let's say they give you kind of a small position, they want to see how you can do, that's a test. I don't know if you people know this, but it's a test. They want to see how you're going to act. So be grateful. Be very grateful that they gave you any opportunities at all. And kind of
be grateful
treat,
for every
opportunity. Yeah, don't abuse it and treat them the same way that you did before. Treat them as a human being, not so, even, you know, if now, that you, let's say now you're working under them or now you're working for someone, you know, close to them that they're in close contact with.
Yeah.
Try and treat them the same as just a human, just as a friend rather than someone that now, you know, is dangling the carrot. And then they can't use you. You know what I mean? Because if they see you as the dancing monkey, then they're going to zap you to make you dance harder. But
they're going to treat you like that, yeah.
Exactly. So if you're just someone that says, oh, hey, you know, like, I don't really have an example. But, yeah, just on that point, just try to, yeah, be friendly, I guess.
Be active. Be active. I would say, you know, you get those opportunities, you get up, you say, all right, like, I want to take this, and I want you just take full advantage of that type of opportunity. And, like, they'll see that, and they'll see you as someone who, like, wants, who is valuable, and someone who actually will provide something to their,
right,
whatever their organization is.
Like, if you're in a class, and you're not paying attention, and you're just screwing around on your phone and stuff, or you're not, you're just sitting there very quietly, and you never contribute to the class, and then you go and ask your professor for contacts, you're like, well, I have a reputation here. I'm not going to give you my contacts because
you're going to embarrass me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't respect
you as a
student.
Yeah, you're going to make me look bad, and I don't trust you because you haven't given me a reason to trust you yet.
Yeah.
So, and let's say they do. They go on a limb. Don't, you know, don't keep fucking around in class, I guess. You know what I mean? Start paying attention. Start writing notes and stuff like that and show that you appreciate what the reach out for you and go full for it. Like,
because they don't, you know, they don't do that. They don't get paid and they don't make anything special to help you get a job. They're just there to like teach you the class. If they do that for you, that's just them being a nice person,
right,
like wanting to help you. So yeah, definitely you gotta act as grateful as possible for that type of thing.
And I'll leave it on this example. So I had a personal selling 300. I don't know if you took the class with Professor Blom. And I had an internship that I was applying for. Didn't get it, but I needed two letters of recommendation. And I asked her for a letter of recommendation because she was also my class advisor before. And so she said she would. And, you know, it took me a couple times to be able to follow up with her, but that's another thing, follow up with people because they're busier than you think. But, you know, I tried to just be more active in class after that because I felt like I owed her that much, you know what I mean? And I contributed more. And it's not like I wasn't contributing before. I'm a very social person. But, you know, I just showed her that I was about it. And if she's going to say these things in this letter about me, I might as well prove it, make it real. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. So thank you for coming on, man.
Yeah,
I really
thank you
appreciate
for having me
it.
Again. Even with all the minor technical difficulties we've had, I've had a really great time.
Yeah, it was great.
It was a fun thing to do.
So guys, that wraps it up for this one. Zach Candelores will be on next Sunday, and I think Tato Kramer will be on the week after that. So stay tuned for that, because it's going to be good stuff. A lot of great content, and Kyle, thank you again, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys, see you next week, and remember, navigate your life. And thank you for tuning in to the NAV Radio Podcast. I hope everyone's weekend went well, it was restful, and you're ready to knock it out of the park this week. It's a short week, so I'm sure you'll be able to. That's what I like most about long weekends, is not the weekend itself, but the fact that I have less amount of days that I have to worry about, you know what I mean? So, funny story with this podcast, actually. Me and Kyle recorded it on Monday, but what happened was I didn't come as prepared as I should have, and my iPad had really low battery, which is what I used to record in conjunction with the microphone, and the iPad died on me, so the app didn't save any of the recording that we did, and halfway through, you know, Kyle was like, yo, bro, it looks like your iPad's off. I'm like, oh, fuck. But Kyle was so gracious and came back in and we recorded it again. So if it sounds like we had a previous conversations because we pretty much talked about the same thing the day before that we did then. But it allowed me to ask different questions and get a little deeper in what I wanted to than the first time. Because I feel like a lot of times in my podcast, I'll be sitting later and like I'll be like, shit, I should have asked about this or talked about this. Like it 2 hours afterwards listening back. So it gave me an opportunity to kind of think about it a little more and, you know, pry a little more with Kyle. And man, it was a worthwhile conversation. I really liked it, and I know you guys liked it too. So, with that being said, I just want to again thank Kyle for being so patient with me. I also wanted to shout out a supporter of mine that gave me a shout out on his social, so I'm about to reciprocate. You know, I'm a man of, you know, give and take, so it's a two-way street. And we have my friend Tyler Manmiller. He goes to Alvernia University. Hit this dude up. He's a childhood friend of mine. We've been friends since the third grade. Really good egg on that shoulder, you know what I mean? Good guy all around. And he is TyGuy45. That is TyGuy45. Used to be a volunteer firefighter, looking to go into criminal justice. Good dude. So, yeah, definitely follow him on Instagram at TyGuy45. And, yeah, I think, if I didn't shout it out last week, Aiden Blaine, too, that's A-B-L-A-I-N-E, 1, I believe. And, yeah, again, you can find my social media at _MIKERUFONE_. You can find this podcast Instagram at Beyond the Sim. That is BeyondTheSim. That's right. And I post a lot of good content on there, a lot of motivating shit. And yeah, we will have Candles on next week and maybe my friend Tad on after that. We'll see what's going on, you know? But that's the thing about this podcast. It's open, it's fluid, it's going in any which direction, and going with the flow is definitely a key aspect of life. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for tuning in, and keep on that steering wheel, because it can get hard to navigate life sometimes, but that's what life is about, the journey and the trip there. And sometimes it can be a little rocky, but when you look back at the end of it, you'll be like, damn, that was fun. And you know, some of the rocky parts were also some of the best parts. I just didn't realize it in the moment. So, yep. Just see you guys next week and keep tuning in. Love you guys. Bye.